What a blessing it is to come to the Lord. Jesus said, come to me, all of you, anybody who has trouble or trials or pain or woe or suffering, or if you're sin sick, you can come and receive righteousness through the blessed blood of Jesus. Wow. You just come. I'll take that away and give you something new. All of your sorrows and sufferings can be traded in on the joys of the Lord. All of the blessings of God are found in Jesus Christ. All the wonderful blessings of this life, they can only be found in Jesus Christ. There's no other name under heaven given among men, but whereby you must be saved is through the glorious, blessed name of Jesus. It's all in Him. It's all wrapped up in Him. And you just come to Him and you can have, well, He said, if you come to me, you'll have life. Life everlasting, life abundant, abundant life we have in Christ Jesus. I'm glad I know Him. Glad I came to Him. Came to Him and He gave me life. He'll give you new life too if you'll come to Jesus. That's basically all we do at church. That's my principal and primary responsibility as a preacher, is to just point you to Jesus. That's all I do. Just say, go to Him. I can't relieve your suffering. I can't take away your sin. But if you go to Jesus Christ, He can wash you and make you whiter than snow. He came to give us new life. New life. We have new life in Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful blessing it is to know Him. God has said, look unto me. God has always told us that we need to come to Him. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none other. There's no other way you can find comfort and consolation other than coming to God. You can't come to God but through Christ Jesus. He is the way. He's the mediator. What a blessing it is to know Him. You know, as they were singing that song, I thought of the various times I brought sorrow to the Lord, my sufferings to the Lord, and He has given me comfort. Our God is a God of all comfort, isn't He? I came in great turmoil and trouble and went away with peace. A peace that passed all understanding. I went to the Lord Jesus Christ with my sins and went away saved. Saved by the grace of God. Wow. Just come. Jesus, I can just see Him out there on the hillside of Judea with His arms outstretched and Him saying to all those that, well, they were like sheep having no shepherd, He said. He looked at them and he was sorrowful because they had been wandering around in life without any kind of leadership, without any kind of direction. They were sheep without a shepherd, and He just extended His arms out and said, come unto me, come unto me. And He still says, come. Amen? Yeah, He still says, come. I mean, that's the message. The last chapter of the book of Revelation tells us that's always been the message. It'll continue to be the message of the church. Come, just come to the water and drink of the water of life freely. The Spirit of the bride. What do we say? And that's what the church is saying right now. The Spirit of the bride says, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And all ye that are thirsty, just come to the water and drink of the water of life freely. Wow. Wow. What a wonderful message we bring to the world. It's a message of comfort. It's good news. Good news. Jesus Christ is accessible. He's available. He died on the cross for your sins, for the sufferings of this life, and you can come to Him and be made whiter than snow. What a blessing it is to know that our sin debt can be blotted out, that our sins, they can be canceled. Canceled by the blood of Jesus Christ. Man, if you have never experienced that in your life, you need to. You guys know what it means to be forgiven? I mean, you come to Jesus as a child of the devil, for goodness sakes. Bible says that we are the children of the devil. We walk around after him as we breathe the air, the prince and the power of the air. We're the children of disobedience, and we come in our sins, come dead in trespasses and in sins. We come to Jesus Christ and we come repenting of our sins and putting faith in him, and he changes our life. Man, if you haven't had a life-changing experience, if you've not had a transformation to occur in your heart, when you move from being a child of the devil and you become a child of God, when you came to Jesus Christ, you haven't come to the living King. You haven't come to the one who resurrected on the third day. You've not really come to Him. Because man, when you lay hold of Jesus Christ, something happens. Remember what happened to the woman with the issue of blood? She pressed through the crowd and she said in her mind, she said in her heart, if I could but touch the hem of His garment, I shall be made whole. And she reached through the crowd. She touched the fringes of His garment and something happened. Jesus said, whoa, something happened. I just felt virtue go out of me. Somebody's just been made whole. There's been a change in somebody's life. And he said, who touched me? And the apostle said, well, there's all kinds of folks all around you, a bunch of people touching you. He said, no, this touch was a touch of faith. There's power that was in this touch. Something happened to this person in their heart and in their life. And that person was a woman with an issue of blood. Really, it was against the law of Moses because she was unclean to touch anybody. But she knew that this wasn't anybody. This was somebody who could change her life. And He did. Amen. And she knew immediately who He was talking about. And she came in on her knees before the Lord and said, it was me, Lord. I touched you. I'm the one. Because she felt it. Amen. She knew that she had just been made clean. She knew that she had just been made whole. And we believe here at Victory Church that when you get saved, you'll know it. When you become a child of God, when the love of God comes in your heart, when the love of God is shed abroad through your heart by the Holy Ghost, you'll know it. And you're justified by faith and you have peace with God through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You'll know it. When you're a child of the King, where you once were a child of the devil, you'll know when you pass from death into life, you'll know it is something that happens deep inside of you. You're the first one to know it, and you know it's something that came from God. I'm talking about imputed righteousness. Man, I just may have to preach. I'm talking about imputed righteousness. I'm talking about passing from death into life. I'm talking about a genuine divine work of grace in your heart. Amen. Folks, people need that. Amen. They need a work of grace. Something that happens inside of them that they knew just came from God. I'm talking about being born again. Absolutely. Born from above. If you have a salvation that didn't come from God, you don't have the salvation that's in Christ Jesus. If when you had a believing application of the blood of Jesus Christ, if the blood really wasn't applied, it wasn't a believing application of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because I believe when the blood of Jesus is laid to your account, there's something that happens inside of you. There's something that happens in heaven. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you become a citizen of heaven. Yeah, you're born into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Born from above. Wow. What a glorious thing it is to know the Lord. Do you know the Lord today? Do you have a time and a place where this happened to you? Where you repented of your sins? The Bible says that those in the New Testament, when they repented unto life. Unto life. Actually, Jesus said, in the 15th chapter of Luke, you look there, and He's talking about various things that take place, and He was given various parables. He talked about a lost lamb, and He said, you know, this lost sheep, it is more value than the 99 that need no repentance, because there is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. Then he talked about the lost coin. He talked about the prodigal son, the lost son. Yeah, but constantly through there, he was talking about heaven rejoicing. How when it hears one sinner crying out to God for mercy. Listen, you need to cry out to God for mercy. He will not save you till you call upon Him. Seek Him, the Bible says in the 55th chapter of Isaiah. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Turn to God and He will abundantly pardon. I'm talking about pardon. I'm talking about the remission of sins. That's the message of the church. Luke chapter 24, Jesus told the church that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in my name, beginning at Jerusalem. Unfortunately, we have a world of Christianity that has tried to alter and change the primary message. The message is repent, experience the forgiveness of sin. Listen, we're not talking about the joys of life. We're talking about the joys that are in Christ Jesus. The joys that are in having your sin debt canceled. Our message is a message of repentance and remission of sins. Yeah, amen. That was the message of the Old Testament. That was the message of John the Baptist, that all flesh is grass. It says the flower of grass. The grass fadeth, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth. But the Word of God endures forever. Nothing tangible in this life is going to last. You need something that's eternal. Something that has come from the Word of God. Something that's come from the very mouth of God. And the Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And that Word, that eternal Word, that glorious Word, that Logos is Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1, he was talking about being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And he went on and said in the same thing that is written in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, the same message that is written in the third, why every one of the gospel writers said, this is what John the Baptist preached, that all flesh is grass, that the flower is going to fade, that all these things in this life are nothing. They're nothing. You need something that comes from the eternal realm. You need God. You need the eternal God. But anyway, in the first chapter of 1 Peter, he said, this is the way the gospel was preached to you. Know what he said? That's how the gospel's preached to you. That you can't put your faith and trust and confidence in anything in this life. You've got to put your faith and trust and confidence in something eternal. Fame will go. Wealth will go. I'm thankful for people that are married 60 and 70 years. But eventually, you know, even our relationships, they're going to pass away. Amen. There's no marrying and giving marriage in heaven. Amen. Amen. No, we're going to be kind of like the angels in our relationship situations. Listen, these things pass away, but our relationship with a holy, eternal, almighty God is a relationship that abides forever. That's one of the reasons the relationship that Jesus had spiritually with His disciples was so much far greater than His earthly relationship. It's because our relationship as brothers and sisters in Christ, it's eternal. Yeah. We're going to be with each other forever. We're going to be brothers and sisters, and we've been made brothers and sisters in Christ because of our great brother, Jesus, who's not ashamed to call us brethren, because He has satisfied the law of God by the giving of Himself. He justified us and He sanctifies us and He puts us in the family of God. Wow! We're in the family of God! And some of you, I want you to be in the family of God with me. but you will never be in God's family till you repent of your sins. Let's examine just for a few moments some of the things that John the Baptist preached in the 40th chapter of Isaiah. If you want to look there, or the 3rd chapter of Luke, some of these verses of Scripture where it talked about him pulling up the valleys, filling in the ravines. John the Baptist was called upon to prepare a way for the Lord. Prepare a highway for God. Jesus only comes into the heart that's prepared. Listen to me. Only comes into a prepared heart. Now the question is, how do you prepare your heart for the Lord to come in? The Lord only comes into a repentant heart, folks. Amen. A repentant heart. And John the Baptist comes on the scene. And what does he preach in preparation for the way of the Lord? He preached a message of repentance. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he said, it was prophesied in Isaiah. It's revealed in every gospel writing is that every valley should be lifted up. Every hill, if you want to look at the verses, verse 5. I'm looking at Luke chapter 3, verse 5. It's also in Isaiah chapter 40. It was prophesied that this is the kind of thing that he would preach. He preached a message of repentance, and it was a message of excavation. You have to, something has to come into your heart and move the debris, fill in the low places, and pull down the high places. You can't come to Jesus holding on to anything. Anything that has exalted itself against God has to be pulled down. Anything that's in the deep crevices of your heart, or the dark stuff. We talk about the dark web. I hear that a lot on television and news. Talk about dark things, the sinful things, the iniquities, the transgressions that you've committed, those things that's hidden from everybody else, that's deep inside of your soul. Folks, you got to repent of those. Amen? Anything, any hill that's up there that you have created, anything you have grasped onto that exalts you above God, that you put before God, that has become an idol to you, that thing's got to be pulled down. It's not uncommon for folks when they come to the altar repenting, they got to lay aside something that they have refused to let go of. You cannot believe on the Lord Jesus Christ holding on to something in your heart. You cannot believe with all of your heart if part of your heart is holding on to some sin. Amen? Amen? Whatever it is. I don't know what's there, but God does. When it's your mother had to lay aside dancing? I mean, sometimes we say, well, yes, I want to be a Christian, but I want to continue to do this or do that. I want to maintain something in my life that's mine. You can't come to God holding on to something. You got to let it all go. You got to fill in the ravine. You got to pull down the valleys. Or the mountains rather. And you got to straighten out the crooked places. You see that in the verse? Every valley shall be filled. Every mountain. Every hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight. The rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see what? Shall see the salvation. Verse 6. Shall see the salvation. Isaiah says the glory. The glory of his salvation. Shall see the salvation of God. You want to be saved? You want to experience and see the salvation of God? You must repent. 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 You'll never receive the remission of sin until you repent. Repentance is a spiritual thing that deals with the soul, the heart, the inner core of your being. I mean, John the Baptist, it was prophesied of that he would be out there doing road work, that the Messiah might be ushered in. And there has to be some road work, if you will. That's the metaphor, okay, that he's using. There has to be some, we don't like road work. Sometimes it takes time for them to get the roads repaired, etc. Sometimes we got to pull out the bulldozers, you know, and we got to do some excavation. We got to move things around. There has to be some grading going on. Look, if there's some kind of debris in your life, something you're holding on to, that's the reason you've not been saved. It's because you've not turned that loose. You got to turn that loose. You got to move that aside in order to get to Jesus. Are you with me? It can be the smallest, minute thing. Amen. In my own heart, it was time. I didn't mind giving some time to God, but I didn't want to give all of my time to God. I'll tell you this, the night I went to the altar, I was going to stay there till I died. I was going to give him every bit of it. It was just that quick I got saved. I was one of those, I'd go to the altar, get up. I'll go to the altar, get up. Look, folks, repentance, there's no amount of mourning or weeping. There's no amount of time. There's not a time element with respect or with regard to repentance. You repent until you got all the stuff removed and you get saved. Where all the valleys are filled in and all the mountains are pulled down and all the crooked things are made straight. Do you realize that there are people today that are being raised in churches and they've never heard a message on repentance? Just like I preached the other Sunday, you know, there's people that grew up in church never hear a message on hell. This was the message of the prophets of the Old Testament. This was the message of John the Baptist. And every believer has a kindred spirit with John the Baptist. Amen? And this message of repentance. It was the first message preached by Jesus Christ. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was the first message of Peter on the day of Pentecost. He told those that were pricked in their hearts, that were troubled in hearts, he said, repent, repent. Listen, he went on throughout the book of Acts preaching repentance. Paul preached repentance that people would turn from their idols and their dead works and serve the living God. Look, folks, you need to repent. Jesus said in the 13th chapter of Luke, get a song, I'm about done. In the 13th chapter, you don't need a long message to get saved, amen? You just need the right message. Amen? Yeah. Yeah, you just need the right message. The message that the church, the early church preached. The message that Jesus preached. The message that the last prophet John the Baptist preached. That all the prophets of the Old Testament preached. You need that message. Paul summed it up. He said, I was in Ephesus and I left back nothing that was profitable unto you. He said, but I went from house to house testifying to both. Now look, if you were with the Apostle Paul, I know some of you say, well, Paul, tell us about eschatology. Tell us about the last things. We'd be trying to figure out these deep mysteries. But you know what Paul preached? He went from house to house testifying to Jew and Greek, repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. And when he was at Athens, he said, God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. Jesus said in the 13th chapter of Luke, let me get back to there. 13th chapter of Luke, there was this gory situation that occurred because of Pilate mingled blood with the sacrifices during Pentecost, or during Passover rather, in the 13th chapter. There was these things that went on in the temple. And then there was also a situation that occurred when a tower fell on a bunch of folks near the pool of Siloam. And folks were saying, well, these people must be getting the judgment of God. They must be getting what they deserve. All these wrong things that occurred, God was bringing judgment upon them. And Jesus said, here's the truth. You don't need to worry about what went on in the temple. You don't need to worry about what happened at the tower. You need to worry about the glorious truth. This is the truth. Except you repent, you'll perish. Amen. That's the truth. That's the truth that Jesus preached right there. Quit worrying about the temple. Quit worrying about the tower. You need to worry about this one main truth. Unless you repent, you will perish. My message is this, quite simple. You need to repent. And if you don't repent, you will perish. Well, I'm done. I feel better. Let's stand saying, it's on your conscience, upon your soul. You know what we've got up here? We call it a moaner's bench. You know why? Because typically, folks mourn over their sins when they repent. Jesus, on one occasion, he said, hey, you realize that the people of Nineveh, you know, I've got all these definitions. There's all kinds of people that have come up with these definitions. Now, let me caution you about something that's going on in Christianity. What's going on in churches right now, okay? People are redefining biblical terms. They're using a biblical term and defining it differently than what it originally means or what is taught in the Word of God. If you want to find out what repentance looks like, go to the Bible. Don't even go to Webster's. See, repentance was already well defined before John the Baptist started saying repent. The Pharisees and the Sadducees knew exactly what he was talking about and refused to do it. On one occasion, Jesus said this. He said, the people of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. Now, if you want to find out what repentance looks like, you go to the third chapter of the book of Jonah and you read what those folks did. Amen. And you look at that. I mean, those folks heard the Word of God and they believed it to be true. The king, he came down off his throne. He declared a fast and he said, let's sit in ashes, let's put on sackcloth, and let's cry mightily to God, and maybe God will be merciful to us. They wept, they mourned, they cried mightily to God, and God saved them. And Jesus, he said, folks, you want to see what repentance looks like? Look at what happened at Nineveh. That's what repentance looks like. They turned to God and pleaded for mercy. Amen. Convicted of their sins, turning from their sins, believing in God, and were saved. Amen. And if you experience Bible repentance, it'll look a little something like that. Amen? Sure will. Mine did. I believe yours did too if you got it. Amen? So don't be confused by all these wrong definitions. This has been going on for a long time. Dr. B.H. Carroll, the founder of Southwestern Theological Seminary and president, he's got like 8 chapters in his book entitled The Interpretation of the English Bible. He's got like 5 chapters on the doctrine of repentance. And he goes through there and he says, folks, even in his day, we're saying that repentance is just changing your mind or turning around on the road or just stop your sinning. You know, there are all these different... And he named these guys, these evangelists of that day that were redefining repentance, and they were defining it differently than what the Bible teaches. Use the Bible to define repentance. You know, the people on the day of Pentecost, according to Zechariah, that they were mourning as one that had lost their only son in death. Mourning as though they had lost a child in death when they repented. Wow. Well, I'm done. Let's sing. If you're here today and you want to be saved, we're going to have an altar prayer. We're going to close the service in the altar. I'm glad I heard a message of repentance growing up. Amen? I mean, yeah, some of those old preachers, they weren't real polished. I'm not polished. I understand that. They weren't the smartest or sharpest knife in the drawers. But I tell you what, they knew what it meant to repent. Amen. And it is the principal and main subject that the church, the main message and the main doctrine, the Hebrew writer said that it is the first principles of the oracles of God. First principles of the doctrines and oracles of God. And they knew what that was and knew how to preach it. God grant us the mercy today that there's somebody here, you've never been saved. And as we sing this song, you're being drawn to the foot of the cross, being made conscious of your sins, Cry out to the Lord for mercy and He'll save you today. Amen? In Ezekiel, I believe it's chapter 20, God says, "Man, if you'll just turn to me, I will save you. If you'll forsake your ways, you'll have to loathe your sins and your ways. Come to God as a sinner. If you'll do that, He'll save you today." Let's sing. Somebody here lost and undone. You need to be saved. So somebody here who's not repentant, don't go through life without repenting of your sins and putting faith in Jesus Christ. Would you come today? Somebody here lost and undone. Would you come to the foot of the cross? Look on Him whom you pierced. Believe to the saving of your soul. Somebody here needs to be saved. Jesus been applied to your heart? Are you in the family of God? Are you a child of God? Have you been born from above? Is there somebody here lost and undone needs to be saved? Is there something that you need to cover up with the blood of Jesus and fill in that ravine? Is there something you're holding on to? Some kind of self-righteousness or some kind of egotistical, self-centered issue in your life that you're holding on to? You won't give to God. That valley's got to be filled up. That mountain's got to be pulled down. The crooked has to be made straight. That you might see, that all flesh might see. Salvation, the glory of His salvation. God bless you. I thank you. I want us to close out this service with an altar prayer. I'm thankful for the message of repentance. It never grows old. A few years ago, I preached a message entitled Repentance Again. You know what? If I feel like, I think it's the main message of the church. That's what Jesus told us to preach. That repentance and remission of sins should be preached throughout the whole world, beginning at Jerusalem. I want to make sure that you hear a message on repentance. It's not about your life getting better. You may have a bad life even after you get saved. Amen. It's not about the comforts of this life. This life, happiness is just brief moments between tragedies, folks. This life doesn't last. It's like the grass. It's like the flower. You may have bought I bought Angie a dozen roses for Valentine's Day. They probably won't last till Wednesday. Right? They're fading fast. The pebbles are falling off. There goes $50 down the drain. You know? All right, you understand? Folks, that's your life. Your life apart from Christ Jesus is just like those flowers. They're fading and it's fading fast. Oh, but when you trust in the living Word of God, you experience eternal joys, spiritual joys, a spiritual life. Folks, if a new life did not come in you, when you repented, you've not yet repented of your sins. But that new life comes in us. The life of God. Folks, you just don't put Jesus in your heart. Your heart has to be cleaned up first. Through repentance. Amen? He will not come to you until you turn from your sins. Just won't happen. Don't just take Jesus into your heart. He only comes in to those who have surrendered and turn from sin. Ah, but listen, you pour yourself out like water in the dirt and He'll come in. We're going to close with an altar prayer. Come in the altar. Let's sing a song while we come in. Maybe Give Me Jesus. We haven't sang that one in a while. I want us to sing that song. I'm glad I have Jesus in my life. Listen, I don't think you guys realize how blessed you are to hear a message on repentance. I challenge you. You go a month and you watch all these TV preachers. And you make a little chart, you know, with the sticks. When you get to five, you go one point across. And you count the number of times you hear the word repent. I'm thankful I grew up in a church hearing that I needed to repent of my sins. Amen. Let's sing. If you're here and you're lost, come in with us. We'll pray with you and pray for you. You'll never get saved if you pray for yourself. Let's sing. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ, the free part of sin? You can have repent. Can't leave nothing there. Every mountain's got to come down. Every valley's got to be filled. All the crooked in your life has to be made straight. You got to know that you have repented to the saving of your soul. Someplace, somewhere, you've got to have a birthday. Amen. Yes. If you're born once, you'll die twice. But if you're born twice, you got to be twice born. Amen? Amen. Be born from above. And when that happens, you'll know it. You'll experience it. Jesus said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof." I mean, you can't tell whence it cometh or where it goeth. But everybody that experiences the new birth, everybody knows when they get saved.
Amen.
It's always at the end of repentance. Repentance is a prerequisite to you being part of the family of God. You've got to repent. It's not pleasant. It gets dirty, just like road work. You got to pull out the bulldozers, dig deep into your soul, and make sure that you're not holding on to something. You got to give it all to the Lord, all of it. Anything that's exalted in your life, whether it's dancing, or I know a guy one time who came to the altar and he was holding on to a sin that he had in his pocket. Yeah, that's one thing he wasn't going to give the Lord. Wasn't going to give this to the Lord. Wasn't going to give this to the Lord. Don't you say never. Oh my goodness. He reached in, pulled that thing out of his pocket, laid it on the altar. Got saved that night. You can say whatever you want to, but you can't hold on to anything. It's got to be a clear way to Jesus. All the debris has to be removed. You got to do that deep inside of your soul.